What up, winners? This is Kita, your boy High Key. I am actually not joined today by Daniel, my wonderful co-host. But, winners, I do have a very, very special treat for you. We have a guest on the show today. He's going to bring a ton of value to you. This is going to be a lot about leadership, how to build a team, how to build the right team, and or an all-star team, as JM will tell you. So today, we have JM Ryerson on the show. JM, thanks for coming on.
Kita, appreciate it, man. I love the way you start. What up, winners? There's not a better way than just what up, winners. Let's go.
Hell yeah, man. They already know what they're coming into. We teach them how to win and tactical things. And the guests that we bring on, they're going to always provide a ton of value. And that's why we're so excited to have you on the show today. So to kind of want to start off by just kind of going through your background. I always like to start at the beginning. And I just asked you right before the show, where are you originally from? And you told me that this journey started in Montana. Obviously, now we Florida and there's masterminds and you're doing all the coaching program. But how does all of this start? You know, how does JM become who he is today? Going back to just little boy, were you a paper route type of kid, lemonade stand? Were you always an entrepreneur or were you like an athlete?
I was an athlete, brother. I had no entrepreneur really interest. That's the funny thing is if you told me I was going to be anything but an NBA player, I would have told you you're crazy. And then two knee surgeries in high school and then a third in college. Yeah, I guess I that wasn't my path. So I ended up actually going to study abroad. And why that becomes important is I really learned a lot about myself in that journey because, you know, you're thousands and thousands of miles away from family. I don't speak the native tongue where I'm at. And it really got me on this path of writing and reading. And so I think that's where this all started, to where I was like, I love consuming information and I love sharing it. And so once I graduated college, I ended up going to California, got into financial service world. And as I told you off air, I don't know anything about financial services. Like if you were to ask me what a mutual fund or a dividend or an annuity or, you know, name a IUL, whatever insurance or, you know, investment related question, I would tell you to look elsewhere. What I was good at was building teams, leadership, and performance. And so much of it started with just me reading and consuming so much information. And then I really went down this personal development path. What's crazy, brother, is I actually had written about Let's Go Win in a journal when I was at 20 or 21 years old. I found it 20 years later, brother, as I was moving from California to Florida in my journal because I was cleaning stuff out. So I marinated on this idea for 20 years about Let's Go Win. And once I wrote the book, which is how this whole thing started, is I wrote my first book for my two kids. It was Let's Go Win, had this logo. It was in black and white in the journal. I'd sat and not known about this for so long. And so anyway, it's just been a fascinating journey. And then I do the podcast. I like to write. I like to coach. And I get to work with people every day on living their best life. It's a pretty good gig.
It's not bad at all. Not bad at all. But I want to go back to the beginning of the story because there's been ups and downs. There's highs and lows. So starting off, you had a dream in mind. Nobody could tell you nothing. You were going straight to the league. You were balling out of control. But two knee surgeries in high school before you even get to D1. That's got to be rough. And then one in college after you can keep pursuing your dream. Can you talk about, you know, because there's a lot of entrepreneurs that kind of stumble into it via athletics because the team building aspect, winning is super important and you can actually go on a scoreboard in entrepreneurship and look up and see if you're winning or losing. What was it like that identity shift from athlete to knowing that you don't get to play the game that you love anymore at the level that you thought?
It's such a good question because identity shift is exactly the label I had attached for so long growing up is an athlete, and you attach who you are, the accolades, you know, going, picking the school that you're going to go to, all based on this. Your whole life is surrounded by being an athlete. And when it's taken away like that and it's gone, now what? And that was the journey that, you know, if when I look back, it was one of those really, really important moments that I would never take back, because it's funny to say now, I'm so grateful that it happened, because that allowed me to go live abroad and learn about all these things that I may or may not have, right? But I went down such a different path. So it was a fascinating journey of the mindset to go from, holy cow, everything of who I am is gone. And it's like, I need to reinvent myself. And it gave me a lot of confidence to know that, all right, I'm not an athlete. Now I'm going to go be, you know, this dude living in the Netherlands. Now I'm going to be this guy that starts into business. Oh, now I'm going to start my own company. And I wasn't scared of any of that, because I kept winning, even though I was, you know, scraping my knees along the way a lot, but I kept winning because I wouldn't quit. And that was the whole idea. That's probably why I played ball in college at all, because I refused to give up on that dream. So yeah, it's been a fun, interesting ride.
Nice, nice. Like, where does that come from? I mean, obviously, you know, my perception of Montana is that, you know, you got working class parents, you're working hard during your early years, and that kind of cultivates the culture that you're around and the mindset that you ultimately walk away from when you leave home. Is that, you know, were you mentored by anyone in particular, coaches, mom and dad? Was there like a beacon in, you know, of light back then?
Yeah, it is interesting, because my work ethic definitely comes from both my parents. My mom was a teacher, a really hardworking teacher for 39 years. My dad worked for the same company for 35. So work ethic wise, they instilled, hey, do what you say you're going to do. I hear that still today. I lost my dad in March, but I still hear him today saying, do what you say you're going to do. But what's interesting, brother, is I scare the shit out of my parents, because the story I didn't tell you is when I went to go play ball, I didn't go to D1. I ended up playing at a junior college straight out of college, because that was all the scholarship I could find. Mm-hmm. I had a full ride in any Pac-10 at the time school for swimming. I had a guaranteed full ride, but I chose basically to go get my books paid for at a junior college and then blow out my knee again. So I don't know where that came from, other than I've always had this innate desire to follow what I really believe. And that's been my journey, man, is like, I'm going to definitely get knocked down a bunch, but I won't quit. I just refuse. And so I'm not sure where that's come from. And actually I get that question often. My mom's, I've asked her like, well, where does this come from? She goes, I don't know. Cause you weren't that talented. Honestly, you just worked harder than everybody else. You just wouldn't give up. And so it's, I guess the good news is I'm not that gifted, but I just won't quit. So
kind of goes to the saying on your wall, show up as you, man. You showed up as you, brother. I love it, dude. I love it. So talk about the impact of this abroad trip. It seems like that had a really formative impact on your early years as far as like finding yourself. And you also mentioned journaling, which is, if all the listeners that are listening to this podcast right now, that's a common thread through most successful people that come onto this show, is that at some point in time, they've picked up or they started, or they've always been in the act of journaling and putting their thoughts onto paper. Did that cultivate more so when you were away from home and there's no one around, you're not part of the culture, were you able just to put more thoughts on paper, or is this something that you've always stuck with you and carried along the way?
Yeah, I remember being on trains all throughout Europe, and I was either reading or I was writing and drinking wine, you know, of course. But, you know, that was really my trip, was I was reading a book, learning about it. And then when you get lonely or you don't have anybody near you that speaks your language, or, you know, of course you run into Americans or people that speak English, but so that pen and paper was so much of me just getting my thoughts out. And I think what I found, brother, in that is this is a release. It's therapy. It's clarity. And it's all by taking this pen and paper. What's cool about it, Jordan, is that paper has never said, JM, you're brilliant. And it's never said, JM, you're an idiot. It doesn't tell me shit. It just takes the pen onto paper. And there's something beautiful about that, man, because there's no judgment about what you put down. it's just allowing you to purge all this stuff. So Europe was a really, really important time for me to understand that, okay, I can make it. You know, I got mugged in Warsaw. No money, like put in some really crappy positions, got a huge scar on my hand by getting bit by a dog in Bruges, Belgium. Like, I have crazy stories, as everyone does, but I survived it and I kept able to thrive through those situations. So Europe definitely instilled some extra confidence after, you know, losing the athletic confidence. It instilled confidence that no matter what position I'm in, I can figure it out.
I like that. And that's really what everyone needs. You have to test yourself and put yourself into challenging positions to, one, see what you're made of. And then, one, if you get knocked down, get back up. Keep pushing. Keep chugging. So what happens next? You get back home from the States. Where are you at right now in life?
Yeah, man. So I get back. This is crazy. I went to 3 colleges and I graduated somehow with 2 degrees in 4 years. Now, part of that is, yeah, brother, it doesn't make sense. I've gone back and I'm like, how did I cheat the system? Because somehow I did. Part of it is my first coach in college required 20 credits a semester because he didn't want us screwing around. So we're playing full-time ball and we're doing an insane amount of work. Well, all my general credits were done by the time I went from Dawson to University of Montana. When I went from University of Montana to study abroad, somehow all of my credits transferred back home for psychology. So I ended up graduating with communications and psychology. And so I graduate earlier than I expected. And I'm looking, I'm like, well, what do I do now? So my brother was graduating in high school. We took a road trip down to California. We started in Folsom, California, because I had an uncle there, then Huntington Beach, then Lake Havasu.
Nice.
Well, on the way back home, I called my mom and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back to Folsom and hang out with Uncle Pat. And I never left, brother. I crashed on his couch with my truck and my duffel bag. And 20 some odd years later, wife and 2 kids, I finally left California. So that was the next step in the journey.
Get out of here. So literally just whatever kind of takes you, like as it goes, as problems or scenarios come up, you've got 2 options. You either take it right then and there, or you let the opportunity go by. And it seems like you do a lot of seizing the opportunity, man. And I love that about you.
Yeah. I mean, look, life's too short not to. It's way more fun. I like change. Not everybody does, right? Change is not something, like my wife, if you were to say, hey, do you like change? She abhors change. It's not something she's interested in. For me, I embrace it. And, you know, California was a really cool opportunity. I met so many people. I got to experience so much more diversity than I did in Montana. You know, certain culture that I like to be around was more prevalent there, where I could go dance and I could go. There was a better scene for being single. So there's a lot of good things. But yeah, man, life's an adventure if you look at it that way.
I love it. So the next adventure, obviously, 20 years later, this is now when we start getting into the fun stuff, isn't it? Entrepreneurship, the troubles, the heartaches, the struggles of actually wanting to do your own business. You know, where does that crazy idea come from? And obviously, I know your wife supports you, your family supports you, and they also think you're kind of crazy also. So where did that first crazy idea of kind of doing it all on your own or betting on yourself come from?
Well, I was 25 in California, and I had actually planned on going into the FBI because my grandfather had, my uncle had, and I just figured, oh, it's part of the family deal. Well, problem is I went to a wedding, got arrested for fighting, and so that FBI dream went away real quick. Well, the world of life insurance didn't, and the gentleman that I met, I'm looking at him, we immediately bonded, and about 6 months into the deal, I looked at him and I said, why don't you have one of these offices all over the country? He goes, I don't know, you know, why would I? I'm making good money here. I'm like, why not, brother? Like, we could blow this thing up. And he goes, I'll tell you what, you show me and I'll go in. And so I ended up moving to Portland, opening my own insurance brokerage. after about a year and a half, moved back to partner with him. And that was the first company called Affinity. And we grew Affinity to about 8 offices.
Wow.
And then we decided to merge. One of the worst decisions I've made. But you know what? Again, I learned through it because we wanted to go nationwide. Culturally, we weren't aligned with the partners. So it was 6 tough years. And then the third company, we actually merged with another brand again, believe it or not. And that was awesome. And that was really good for, in fact, I just sold out of that company January 1st of this year, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Nice. Congratulations.
And so that was the third company. And then when I wrote the book, Let's Go Win started, and that's been, just over 3 years now. And I just found what I'm passionate about, brother. I love to podcast. This is literally my favorite thing I get to do every single week. I like to write and I love coaching people. There's nothing better than watching somebody fulfill their dreams. And I get to do that often.
It sounds like you kind of caught a piece of that bug, that last part right there at that 25 when you got introduced to the financial services, because you immediately thought grow. Sounds like the first partner was maybe like, look, dude, I can just service the clients in my neighborhood. I'm getting residuals. Like, people come in, they know me, I'm good. But you were thinking bigger than that and immediately went out and built a team in a year and a half that was big enough to be able to come in and your partner say, okay, let's do something bigger than that. And that's what created that first company. So you really got that start right there coaching, like, almost immediately, still under 30. Is that right?
Yeah, man. I started really building the team at about 27 was when I look back at the timeline. And again, I'm good at sales, but I was never passionate about it. I am passionate about building teams, and you'll see that theme in my life. I chose to go play basketball versus swim, team sport versus an individual sport, right? I love teams more than there's something about this team dynamic. And even if you look at the name of my company, it's not jmryerson.com, it's Let's Go Win. So look, that's right, brother. Like, if you and I are winning right now, like Keaton, JM, if Keaton's winning, JM's winning. If you know, JM's winning, you're winning. And that's the whole idea, man. It's this whole thing of I have to win in order for you to lose. That's bullshit. And it's wrong. And I fight against that all the time because I live in a world of abundance, man. There's so much to go around. And the one thing I would tell myself, brother, if I could go back when I was 18 or 19, the one piece of advice I would say is make sure you always stay open to opportunities. Make sure you always stay open to meeting new human beings, because it's a big world, brother. There's so many people to meet. There's so many amazing opportunities if you just are open to it and surrender to the idea. So anyway, I hope that answered your question. I kind of went on a tangent, but yeah, man, it's Let's Go Win is a huge part of who I am, is because of that teamwork.
I love that, man. And the winner is going to love that. That's something I would replay back again and again and again to get that, because the point of the matter is that this isn't a me versus you thing. There's enough money for everyone to eat. And this is kind of why you need to have a team to build on, because you got strengths and weaknesses. Sometimes you need a hand to pick you up when you're down. You know, you get a hard foul in basketball, you want your teammates to come over there to pick you up. You're not trying to just get up on your own and go walk to the free throw line. So this teamwork thing is a common theme for any winning relationship. But you kind of alluded to, sometimes partnerships, sometimes teams, they have their strife or their rifts. And you kind of had like one relationship that was mediocre, let's say, and then one that sounds like it was very, very mutually rewarding. What are some mistakes or pitfalls when choosing a partnership, to think about?
Oh, man, what a freaking fantastic question. If anybody is considering partnering, the first thing you need to look at that human being, and you need to ask yourself, do I completely trust them? My test is, can you sleep next to my wife? And I'm totally cool with it. If I can't unequivocally answer yes, don't do it. And I mean that sincerely. Like, that's how a partnership is a marriage. And that's how much you need to be able to trust that person. Well, unfortunately, I wasn't clear on that until really the second company, when we partnered with really talented people. They're not bad human beings. They're not. They're good, good people. But from a value standpoint, we were so polar opposite on, like, money would be a huge issue that we had, where they were take, take, take. And we are more like, hey, let's spread it around. Let's give. Right. And so the one thing you need to be clear on is, A, do I trust them? And what are our values? Where are we going? Do they align? Because if they don't, I don't care how talented it is. How many amazing teams have you seen in professional sports where they have the talent, brother, but they can't win? It's because their values aren't lined up. One wants to be the whole thing. That's why the Warriors, when they brought on Durant, everybody's like, all right, is this going to be a train wreck or is it going to be amazing? No, it's amazing because Durant was able to defer. Curry was able to defer. So far for the Nets, hasn't been the case, right? Kyrie and him and Harden, it didn't work. In fact, Harden ended up leaving because the ball, there wasn't enough to go around with the way the egos were set up. So yeah, man, that value thing is so important. And so again, can you trust this person? And what are the values? And define those values, man. Mm-hmm. Once you get clear on that, sure, partner up, go for it. But don't even consider it till you do.
That's so money. That's so money. Because I feel like a lot of times you think of the end goal, especially with entrepreneurship, we're optimistic. We're like, man, if I partner up with this company, you know, the way they do their business, the way I do business, we're going to help so many people. We're going to crush it. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. The whole time, the other company is not thinking that way. They're like, man, I look at your database as a bunch of dollar signs. I'm going to upsell the hell out of your clients. Like, let's go. This is more profit for us. If you guys are both working towards the same goal, but looking at it completely different, and that's a match made in hell, not match made in heaven.
Yeah, that's a really succinct way to put that, and it's brilliant. Keita, you nailed that. Money is a funny thing for some people, man, and it's not a bad thing. It's just that when you start making a lot of money, it can be amazing or it can be awful. All depending on, are you in alignment? So really well put.
Yeah, it amplifies who you are. No, it doesn't make it change you who you are. So if you're an asshole before, it is a bigger one. So the good stuff is, you know, what do we look for when we're looking for like the good partnership? So our values align, you know, we both have the same interest in mind. We want to do good. You know, what are some of the things that now is green lights? What are some green lights that make us want to go towards a partnership or run towards an opportunity?
Yeah, just setting expectations. It's amazing how often when I come in to a company and, you know, because I consult companies often to say, all right, what are you guys trying to accomplish? I don't know. And literally they're not clear on it. And you're like, all right, let's start there. Let's get some clarity around what we're trying to accomplish. What is the expectations that you have? Like before we even started the show, you guys told me a bit of how this goes. You're like, you can cuss. Cool. Now I feel comfortable and I'm not like, oh, shoot, did I mess up? And often that doesn't happen in relationships where you're clear on, hey, this is how the expectations of what we expect of you and what you should expect of us. How do we behave, right? Is respect a big thing or is it not? Are we direct or are we passive aggressive? And by the way, this isn't just good for partnerships in business. This is good for relationships. Like discussing the way you behave, are you going to be breaking any of those non-negotiables? And if they are, again, red flag, don't do it, because it doesn't matter how much money. And I mean, I haven't made hundreds of millions of dollars, so maybe that you could sell your soul for that. But I've made millions where it's like, no, that sucks. That literally was miserable. I was on the verge of divorce with my wife. I was super unhealthy. Business, we're crushing it. But I was miserable all because we weren't clear on how we were going to behave. So those green lights are 100% like set the expectations. What is the outcome that we're looking for? And how do we behave with one another? Once you do that, cool. Now we all know the ground rules. We're in alignment. We know what our direction and our goal is. That doesn't mean the goal can't change. It will. I promise it will. But because we're in alignment with how we behave, now we can proceed forward in a matter to say, all right, I'm with you, brother, and you're with me. Cool. We're good.
That's so money, because alignment, like you said, you can be crushing it in one area of life. You know, a lot of people just look at as business as the one meter of success. Marriage on the brinks of, you know, divorce, you know, haven't been to no volleyball games for your kids or anything like that. You know, out of shape, not working out, or just eating out way too much, or drinking too damn much, whatever it is. We all got our vices. That's not the best version of yourself. And it sounds like you kind of knew that. And when you had the opportunity to finally break free from that kind of toxic business relationship, you could focus on what actually matters. Because I'm looking at you right now on the computer screen. You look great. You just mentioned your wife's happy, you know, so business is still crushing it. So talk about the 180 that you did there. You know, like, what did you, like, you know, just kind of start coaching yourself a little bit more? Or did you go back into the writing and putting more thoughts on paper? And that's where the book came about. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, man. So it's again, another really good question, because a lot went into it. I certainly dug into reading. Whenever I don't know the answer to a question, I go to either my coach or I go to a book. And typically it may not be in that order, but I'm always going to consult both of those. Specifically to this particular question with my wife and I being separated, I went into therapy, man. Needed somebody with an outside perspective to tell me here's your shortcomings. Hey, by the way, you own 50% or more of the problems that you're talking about. You can't see the reflection in your mirror, dude. I promise you, you have some real shortcomings. Self-development ramped way up. Definitely attended some, a whole series, group that I went to. And then, you know, the writing, I did a tremendous amount of writing. And the beautiful thing about writing is you can lie to yourself, but you know it. And so when you're able to really write, like, here's where I'm failing in my relationship, do I want to make it better? And you can ask real questions with no one else reading it. And then you'll start to say, well, actually, I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to be, at the time I was like 275 pounds. Like, damn, bro. I was like early 30s at that point. That's really heavy. And I'm an athlete, man. Like, what are you doing? And so that writing helped, and a lot of feedback too. When you're going through hard times, right when you don't feel like you want to hear your shortcomings, that's exactly when you need to hear it. And so I reached out to, you know, five of my closest friends, and I said, I'm asking for direct feedback on how I can improve. If you need to, you can tell me where I'm doing well, but the most important thing is, how can I improve? And for those friends to do that for me, to be brutally honest, there's no better gift that someone can give you than that direct, honest feedback. And the one way you can thank them is just to say, thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time and trusting in me to give me that feedback, because I was able to get better because of it.
Winners, rewind that. That was fire, dude. JM, killing it, dude. I love that. Because, yeah, like, you have to, sometimes that mirror is a little smudged that you're looking into. You don't really get to see all the flaws, you know, or maybe it's a funhouse mirror, got you looking like, you know, you're a 10, but you're not doing what you know in your heart of hearts that you need to be doing or should be doing. So it's really nice to have a group that you can turn to, you know, five closest people. Who knows you the best? Your five closest friends. That's who your circle of influence is. That's what you will become outside in the world, they say, is your circle of influence. Why would you not go to them and say, hey, where am I falling short at? So I love that. So if you're in that same spot, winners, if you're going through a struggle right now, embrace it. Go forward into lean into it is kind of what you were saying in that response. Lean into why it's happening, and then ask yourself these questions. Do I want to continue on this path? Is that who I'm aligned with now? Is this my alignment where I'm going? Or am I out of alignment? I need to get back in, you know, where I'm supposed to be headed.
Yeah, man. And one thing you said that it just triggered in my head, every time that something really sucks, like, think of the worst. Okay, again, I lost my dad this year. It's horrible, bro. I miss him every day. But do you know the amount of perspective I was given by losing him? It was a gift. And every time it's really dark, what's coming next? The light, right? You can't appreciate the good times without the bad. So when something really shitty is happening in your life, just remember to thank it and learn the story. Why are you going through this divorce, this heart attack, this whatever it is, right? If you make it through, I promise you, you will value life differently and better. And it's the weird thing about human beings, man. We lack perspective so frequently, and these tragic events happen. And then we're like, oh, I really want to be my very best version of myself. And we go, go, go. And then we start to go this way. If you can figure out how to keep perspective on a daily, brother, life is beautiful. And I'm not saying it's easy, right? But trying to figure that out. And I've spent so much time meditating on this recently, on perspective. I want to change this for the human beings, man. I want us to remember to have amazing perspective, to value the present moment at every moment, because it's fleeting. And when you're going through something tough, just say thanks, because something amazing is coming next. I promise you. And when something's going really good, guess what? Something really bad's probably coming next too. And that's all right. That's the whole journey of life. That's the beauty of it.
100%. I think Ed Milet's the one who taught me this one. It's not things happen to you, not, you know, for you, or things happen for you, not to you. So, you know, this is a part of your journey. This is a part of your story. The test is the testimonial that you eventually get to say when you overcome it. So 100% agree with that. So now we're kind of into the part where you begun to write the book. This was about 3 years ago, I believe, was the first one, right? You've got two books out now, correct?
Yep, correct.
So the first one, that was kind of part of the journal, right? This is something that's been marinating in your head for 20 years that you finally, you know, really got a chance to fully put on paper and then just get your thoughts out there and actually publish it versus keeping it into the journal. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said the way you said that, because I wasn't planning on publishing this book. And the gal that I was working with said, man, you're selfish. And I said, what are you talking about? I don't think I'm selfish. I give to this charity. I'm into this. And she's like, if you only share this book with two human beings, you're selfish. Really, really important lesson. And so once she made that clear to me, we went and we published the book. What's interesting about the writing of the book is I put my goals in my bathroom mirror so I can see it. My whole family can see them. And at the time, my son would have been, I think, about 7 or 8 years old. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, how's the book coming? Because I'd had write the book for the kids for 3 years on that mirror. And I will never lie to my kids. So I had to look at him and he crushed me and inspired me all in one sentence. And I said, but I only have half of chapter one done. And that day I committed to finishing the book. And within 6 months, it was done. And it was such a cool experience because I got to brain dump all of it out. I get to hand my kids something that if Dad gets hit by a bus tomorrow, they have something that I can leave them. Some of the thoughts from my parents and grandparents and mentors. But yeah, for too long, I waited on that project. And I'm so glad now that I got it done. And I'm working on actually book number 3, to the chagrin of my wife. But I enjoy writing, man. It's something that I've found is a good release for me. And if I can help a few people along the way, all the better.
I love it, man. So really, this is the book was 20 years in the making. And then the perspective changed. Speaking of perspective, the publisher that you worked with hit you with the perspective changing question and said, you're selfish if you keep this just to two human beings. I mean, just what a freaking game changer for that, you know, for her to just throw that at you, right?
Yeah. And what's funny, I remember my reaction was basically like, fuck you, man. I'm not selfish. And yet I'm so grateful that she did that. Like, that is such a gift that she gave me. And you know what? I need to reach out to her to thank her again, because it's led me on this really amazing journey of doing the podcast, working with athletes and executives and teams. And I would have got here anyway, but she certainly ramped it up by that statement.
I love it, man. I mean, shit, it's like I said, it's 20 years ago. You know, who knows what would have happened if you published 20 years ago? Who knows if you'd have waited another 20 years before you published, if you didn't have that conversation with her and you just left it for the kids, and maybe they had to go out and publish it 20 years from now. But everything happens for a reason, and this is why everyone gets to enjoy this writing. The second book just came out, and then now you're in the process of writing a third book as well, so they get a lot of content from you. Where also is another good place for the winners to follow you if they want to continue listening to your journey?
Yeah, brother. You know, the thing I'm growing the most and what I really enjoy, I've said it a couple times, is the Let's Go Win podcast. I know that you're going to be on there, brother, and we're going to get that all set up. And I'm passionate about sharing people's stories. And so check out the Let's Go Win podcast, man. It's if you were to ask me 5 years from now, like, if you accomplish something, if that podcast is still just going and growing and it's influencing people to do better, I'll be a really happy dude. So check out the Let's Go Win podcast. This is the long-winded way of saying that.
No, definitely. We'll have that in the show notes, winner. So go check him out. Leave him a 5-star review, because obviously he's dropping a ton of gems on our show. So you can only imagine what's going down over there. Also, if you want to work directly with JM, you also have a course, don't you, brother?
I do. By the time this drops, the Show Up As You masterclass will be going on. I have at least one course, maybe two, on the website. Build Your All-Star Team is in there. And there's another one. Nobody Likes to Get Sold. There's another one in there too. And yeah, man, that's available on letsgowin.com. And there's a free articles, there's a blog there, and some other stuff. So check it out, brother. Again, thank you for having me, man. You're a great host, a young dude that's just crushing it. I love your perspective and your insights. So this was awesome.
Oh, man, thank you. I appreciate it. But, you know, he's being humble, guys. Obviously, he's bringing value to his client base. He's getting results for them as well. So check out his course, check out the podcast, support JM and what he's doing. And if it doesn't fit what you're doing, send it to a friend, because what he's given is for somebody, whether it's you or someone in your life. So no, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I know the winners got a ton of value today, and actually actionable items, and a lot of shit was relatable. You know, like, everything is relatable. We're all humans. We all go through these ebbs and flows and these ups and downs. And that was a testament of your journey and how you handle it and how you view life right now. I can see your perspective is like, you're upbeat. You know, you feel good when you wake up in the morning. You know that you're on your purpose-driven mission every single day, and you can just see it and you feel it. So, you know, it's great to get to know you, JM. I can't wait to be on your show. And I know the winners got a ton of value. So winners, leave us a 5-star review. If you haven't already, go check out JM's podcast, and we will catch you next week. Peace.